Well, I love Christmas. I love the anticipation of what's coming, and I love the fact that it brings us hope. And there's something just in the air, and you have this anticipation and this wonder, this mysterious wonder of what will come. And so I wonder if you have a sense of wonder, a sense of hope when it comes to Christmas. I know that a lot of people don't. I know that a lot of people struggle. But my question this morning is, do you have a sense of wonder, a sense of hope? We're anticipating a couple babies coming in our church family. Debbie is going to have a baby boy, and our oldest daughter is going to have a baby boy in February. And so there's this anticipation of new life, of anticipation of a baby. And I love the fact that the preparation of 9 months of getting everything ready, God put this together to create this anticipation. It would probably be pretty scary. It's already pretty scary having a baby, but it'd be pretty scary to instantly the next day, boom, you have a baby in your life, right? But God was gracious enough to give somebody, a lady, 9 months to prepare, a family 9 months to prepare, right? And so as these two ladies are preparing, you start to see their belly grow, and you know that there's something going on inside there. I got to put my hand on Emily's tummy and feel the baby move, and that's incredible, right? Us guys, we don't get to feel a baby inside of us, but we can experience the exterior of it, right? And so it's this anticipation. And when you learn, I don't know if you remember learning about this in school, but when you go through the stages of a pregnancy, some of the cool things of the stages of a baby is incredible. That, and I just want to go through some of those. In the first month, the heart and the lungs begin to develop, and the arms and the legs and the brain and the spinal cord and the nerves begin to form. And this baby is only as small as a little pea, a little small seed. And all of that is happening in the first month. The second month, the embryo has grown to the size of a kidney bean, which is very small. The ankles, the wrists, the fingers, the eyelids, they all form. The bones, they start to appear. And the inner ear begins to develop. And 8 out of the 10 babies' main organs are formed in that small little size at the beginning of stages of this growing stage of 9 months. And so in the third month, the bones, muscles begin to grow. The teeth, the buds for the teeth appear. And fingers and toes grow. The intestines begins to form. And the skin almost is transparent. Isn't that incredible? I wish I had I was going to put a picture up, but that's okay. You can envision it in your own mind. And in the fourth month, the eyebrows, eyelashes, fingernails, all the neck that forms, the skin has actual wrinkle appearance. Also during the fourth month, the arms and the legs can bend, the kidneys start to work, and the baby can swallow and hear. Isn't that incredible? And in the fifth month, the baby is more active, and a woman may be able to feel its movements, and the baby also sleeps and wakes on a regular cycle. And then the sixth month, hair begins to grow, the eyes begin to open, the brain is rapidly developing. Although the lungs are not completely formed, they don't yet function yet, but they are completely formed. In the seventh month, the baby kicks and stretches and can even respond to light and sound and music. And then the eighth month, the baby gains weight very quickly. The bones harden. The The skull remains soft and flexible to make delivery easier, and then the different regions of the brain are forming, and the baby then can hiccup. I'm sure some of you ladies have experienced that wonderful thing, right? Maybe it's not wonderful. And in the nine-month period, the baby is getting ready for birth by turning its head down into position. God created all this to happen, and then the lungs are now fully mature to prepare for functioning on their own, and the baby continues to grow and gain weight. And then you have the painful labor, but what happens after that? The joy comes. The joy comes. Thank you. Hopefully the joy comes, right? The joy of chasing after a two-year-old, right? But do you sense the amazement? Do you sense the hope of Christmas? Christmas is about a child being born. Not just any child. We talked just a few minutes of the miracle of life coming through a womb. But what is even greater than that is a baby born who will save all of humanity. A child is born. And I don't know about you, but that seems incredibly miraculous, incredibly amazing. Just the fact that a human being can start with such a small seed and create a human being all in 9 months, and that's just, to me, amazing. And so maybe life for you is dark or dreary, like today, right? You look out, you see the clouds, it's kind of dreary. And maybe you're lacking joy in your life and you're feeling discouraged this morning. Maybe life is tough and tiring and you feel as if you're hitting a wall and you just lost all that hope. And I just want to encourage you this morning. There is an anticipation. It is going to be next year, and we're talking about Christmas, but even next year, it's going to be 2020. Wow. I mean, just the anticipation of a new year, the anticipation of Christ and his birth. And then what is the next thing after 2020? Well, maybe he will come in 2020. But the next thing is Jesus is coming again, right? We're anticipating the coming of Christ. And so there is hope. This morning's Advent is about hope. It's all about that anticipation. And so we talked a few weeks ago about Isaiah. And Isaiah was this amazing prophet. He saw visions. And then he wrote it down 700 years prior to Jesus coming to this earth. And he wrote down not just prophecy, not just a story. He wrote down details of Jesus's birth and Jesus's life and Jesus's death and resurrection. And he wrote it down in detail 700 years prior to his birth, Jesus's birth. And so in approximately 725 BC, the northern kingdom of Israel faced difficult situation. And you may feel or sense that your life is tough right now. But there was some really dark, difficult times that Israel was going through at this time when Isaiah was living, when he was alive. And there was this evil Assyrian empire that was growing, and it was taking over the region. And the king who took over, his name was King Salmanazar, and he was in place, and he was ready to attack Israel, who Israel at the time had really, and we've heard stories of Israel, they have this up and down, I'm going to follow Jesus, God, I'm going to trust God, and then they don't trust God. And they're at this point, they are morally struggling. They are morally bankrupt. They are militarily weak. And so in 722 B.C., Israel would be overrun and sacked and crushed by this army, by this defeat. And loved ones would be brutally killed. Families would be broken up and destroyed. And the land would be devastated. There would be economic havoc. And this proud nation would be on its knees with shame and humiliation and judgment. And so their day was pretty dark. And it was very discouraging in their life, but there was still a glimpse of hope. In the midst of difficulty, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of despair, there was this glimpse of hope. And I want you to turn to Isaiah 9. Now, Isaiah 9 is not the first time that we hear about the Messiah. Isaiah 7 talks about the Messiah coming. But this is where we're going to focus on for the next 4 weeks, is this verse, this passage, Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. But I want to start with 1 through 3. And 1 through 3 says this: "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder." Excuse me. So just like labor, it's difficult going through it, I've heard. I've seen it, but I didn't experience it. But when the labor is done, there is joy after the pain. So the Israelites, they have this darkness and this gloom and despair. And verse 1, the gloom turns into rejoicing in verse 3. And the distress in verse 1 will turn into joy in verse 3. And the oppression in verse 1 would turn into this freedom from that oppression in verse 3. And then the darkness in verse 2 would turn into light in verse 3. And then then the shadow of death in verse 2 would be this overcoming in verse 6, which brings us to Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. For unto us a child is born. So this destruction and this despair and this darkness and this difficulty comes this hope of this child that would be born. E.J. Young paraphrases Matthew 4, 12 through 17. And he says, "There is a great rejoicing among God's people because God has broken the yoke of burden and oppression. And the burden of and oppression are removed because the weapons and the garments of the warrior are destroyed. And the basic reason for these blessings is that a child is born." Now, you have difficulties in your life. You have struggles. And the only person that can save you from destruction, spiritually speaking, from your sin, is the one who was born in Bethlehem. His name is Jesus. So Isaiah 9, 6 through 7 says, For to us there is hope. A child is born. To us, this is getting personal. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from the time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Jerry Vine says this is one of the greatest single verses of all scripture on the Lord Jesus Christ. There, if you can see there, there are four descriptions of Christ, of Jesus. Four descriptions. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so if you go through the scripture, you could find multiple names for God, multiple names, descriptions, characteristics, attributes for God. And there are probably more than 250 names and titles for the Lord throughout the Bible. But Isaiah brings it to this one statement with four names, characteristics, attributes, descriptions of this son that was going to be born. And he puts it all together. And he puts it all together and paints this beautiful picture, this picture of a God, a deity, and a man all in one who will save the world from its destruction. And so the Jews were anticipating this. They believed that this Messiah would come and be put on the throne immediately and reign. And yet that wasn't the case. It will come in the future, yes. But it didn't come in that way at first. As Isaiah described, the Jews thought it was going to come immediately. And so when you look at those four phrases, Wonderful Counselor, you see two different things. You see wonderful emphasizes God's the deity, which is his Godhead. And when you look at the counselor, it emphasizes his humanity. When you look at mighty, it emphasizes his humanity. But God emphasizes his deity. When you look at everlasting, that emphasizes his deity, but Father emphasizes his humanity. And then the last one, Prince emphasizes his humanity, but Peace emphasizes his deity. And you put that all together with the child born, the son given, the result is nothing less than a God-man, the Messiah. The one, Emmanuel, God with us, will come, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, names and titles express character and activity of someone who they are and what they will do. And so Wonderful Counselor is what we're going to focus on this morning. And you know, I don't know if you think about counselor in a negative light, but counseling is helpful if you get the right counsel. Someone speaking into your life is very helpful if it is godly or if it is morally right. And so Jesus showed himself to be the absolute perfect wonderful counselor. And so we think of these words. Let's kind of look at them. Wonderful Counselor. He is the one who gives a wonder, wondrous counsel and unfailing wisdom. The word is actually not used much in the Bible, this wonderful word, this wonderful counselor word. You know, we live in a day where there's a mentor or a counselor or a psychiatrist or there's psychotherapy or whatever. And so we get this kind of mindset, but it is broader than that. And in fact, like I said earlier, that we can get bad counsel, and I can prove it. Adam and Eve were counseled by a serpent, and they listened and gave in to the counsel and believed the lies and fell into sin. But there is a greater counsel, the counselor who knows everything. His ways are higher than our ways. He is the great counselor of all time. He knows everything. And he has wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:24 shows us that Jesus is the wisdom of God. I don't know if we have that. Nope. He is the advisor. He is the teacher. He is the confidant. He is a friend. Someone who gives us wisdom. And Jesus comes and he has this discussion with all his disciples, and he says many wondrous things, and he says in Matthew 11:28, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, I will counsel you, I will give you wisdom, I will give you rest, I will take your burdens." He is the one who said, "I will give you rest of body and rest of mind and rest of soul." Do you feel weary sometimes? You feel like you can't do anymore. You've had enough. You're tired. Well, Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." The word wonderful is probably a little limited in our mind that what is being said in Hebrew. And the word in Hebrew is pale, which indicates a phenomenon lying outside of the realm of human explanation. That we can't explain what something that is wonderful, it is unexplainable. That it is separated from this normal everyday life. It is above comprehension. It is wonderful. It is amazing. You probably get the new iPhone or the new technology, and it's like, oh, it is awesome. It is amazing. It is wonderful. And yet God is greater than that. He is the wonderful counselor. On Caleb recently, I heard that somebody changed a Psalms and put in Google into the spot for God, right? Instead of seeking after God's advice or wisdom, they just seek after Google, right? They type it into Google. He is this search engine is the all searchable, right? And yet we know better than that. God is this wonderful counselor. Psalms 139:6, it says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." It describes something miraculous. Something happened. This son was born that will be this wonderful counselor. This counselor that is indescribable. And so does our sense of wonder go beyond all expectations? Yeah, we're expected to get a gift this Christmas, and it will be exciting. It will be perhaps wonderful, but is it beyond our all expectations, and is it beyond explanation? And so the greatest miracles are not, they don't come from our favorite sports team, right? Coming back from losing, or from technology. They do not come from the wonder drug that calmed my allergies. They come from the wonderful counselor who is God, who knows everything. And that is the person that Isaiah is talking about. The coming Christ would be a wonder. It does not describe just who he is, but it describes what he will do. And so counselor is this word, just to go back to the counselor word. Counselor word is this word that is like a king. King Solomon was wise, probably the wisest king on earth. And until Jesus comes again, right, and becomes crowned king. But Solomon was one of the wisest ones. And this counselor, the word is pictured as a king giving counsel to his people. And Micah spoke of the problem of the Jewish captives in Babylon this way, in Micah 4:9. He says, "Why do you now cry aloud? Have you no king? Has your ruler perished? That pain seizes you like that of a woman in labor." So way before the son was given, Isaiah foretold that God was planning to send a counselor for the brokenhearted. For the brokenhearted in this world, that Jesus would be that counselor. And so we see in the flesh Jesus coming. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom from God, that is our righteousness and holiness and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." And so when we talk, when we take all of that we know about Christ, it adds to this marvelous truth that he is God who is a wonder of a counselor. You may be struggling with trying to make a decision or trying to figure something out. And you may get to the point where you just can't figure it out, right? But God is the God who has everything under control. He knows everything. So why wouldn't we just go talk to him about it and seek his counsel? Seek his wonderful counsel. This wonder, if you wonder, is anything that excites amazement, then it describes everything about the one who came in this fulfillment of Isaiah's prophet. He is a wonderful counselor. And so, Timothy, 1 Timothy 3:16, it says that the wonder of Christ clothed himself in human flesh. It says, "Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up into glory." Now this baffles philosophers, and this delights those that are beggars, and this comforts those that are brokenhearted, because Jesus is this wonderful counselor that is beyond our expectations, beyond our explanation, and he is this counselor that will comfort us and will help us, give us wisdom and help us through life. So So 2 Corinthians 5:20 through 21. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made himself, made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so think about it. God came down to earth, became a human being, came into this son, this Jesus. That sounded weird, but Jesus was born, and it was this God in the flesh. This was what it was. And this wonderful counselor, this mighty God, this everlasting Father, this Prince of Peace, was willing to die for you and I, was willing to sacrifice his life for us, to take away our sins. So when Jesus was 12, he actually blew the Jewish rabbis' minds. There are multiple times where Jesus was having conversations with them, and they would just be confused. They would be overwhelmed. And so Luke 2:46-47 says, after 3 days, they found Jesus in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And then Luke recorded in Luke 2:40, the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And then in his public life, Jesus, people were amazed by his wise counsel. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get his wisdom and these mighty works? Where did this come from? It was because he was God in the flesh. He had come, and he had come to save us. And he is the wise counsel, the amazing counselor. And so in later on, Paul writes about this. He writes that in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so are we astonished? Are we amazed? Are we blown out of the water by this wonderful counselor, this mighty God, this everlasting Father, this Prince of Peace? Are we captivated by his insight and his practical knowledge about how to live life? So if you're struggling this morning, don't do it on your own. God is this wonderful counselor that wants to help you in that difficulty. He wants to give you hope this morning, because there is difficulty and there is struggle and there is discouragement. But he is the hope, and he is the anticipation of what Christmas is all about. Wonderful counselor. He is the creator. He is the savior. His counsel is found wherever we find God's word and his promises. His counsel is through his spirit. When we pray and we ask God to give us insight, when we ask God to give us hope, when we ask God to help us make a decision, he is our hope. He is our counsel. And in the Old Testament, this describes his story. And in the New Testament, the Gospels are recorded of his interaction with people. And the letters of the rest of the New Testament represent the practical application of his teaching and his life. And so God's word is part of that wonderful counselor. And his Holy Spirit is that that wonderful counselor that he promised to us in John 14:26, that he would be our advocate, that he would be our counselor in times of need. And so, how does our wonderful counselor help us with our problems? He gives us security. He gives us ultimate satisfaction. He gives us wisdom. And he gives us joy. Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct you, and I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. He wants to help you. And he is a wonderful counselor. He is there to walk with you through difficulties. He is there to help you make decisions. He is there to fill you up with joy when you are weary, when you are tired, when you are you're struggling, whatever it is. He is the wonderful counselor. James 1:5 also says that if anyone of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. God gives you wisdom, and he gives it to you generously. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you're struggling, if you don't know what to do, ask the wonderful counselor for help. Because he is beyond expectation. He is beyond anticipation. He is beyond even explanation. He is the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Christ is able to give us the needed direction for life. And so, I'm very thankful that Isaiah spoke of this. Wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So this season, may you trust in him more. May you put your hope in him, because he is all and everything that you ever need. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the incredible writings and prophecy of Isaiah, where he saw this vision and he saw this perspective of what was to become. And it was Jesus, this counselor that's wonderful, this God that's mighty, this Father that's everlasting, and this Prince that is full of peace. And Lord, I just pray that we would realize that our source of joy and our source of hope and our source of life is you and only you. May we seek you this season and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.